The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Good morning, congregation. It's great to have you here this morning, and we're together as God's family together. We've got all ages together with us, and that's okay. It might lead to a little bit of extra noise, and that's okay as well. I'll just talk louder. All right, for those of you who haven't been here or weren't here last week, we started a series which we're calling Keeping It in Context, which is a series of sermons looking at those verses that are often taken out of context, trying to understand how the context of these sermons, these verses work so that we can properly understand the Word of God. As we're going through this process, what we're going to do is equip you with tools and techniques of reading the scriptures so that you can make sure that you keep all of scripture in context and as you're reading it personally as well. So you might want to take notes about some of these sorts of things. We did put a booklet out which has got spaces for you to take notes into, and further on in the booklet there's a whole heap of studies that you can also follow along for yourself or maybe in your small group as well that you can use. Today we're focusing on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, in the, he's not working. There we go. Yes. That's Stephen Curry. He's a USA basketballer. His team is the Great State Warriors. Unlike other people in this room who know a lot about basketball, I know very little about basketball. But I do read that Stephen Curry is one of the best shooters in basketball history. I don't even know what a shooter is. I'm assuming that's the guy who goes for the hoop. Anyway, best shooter. Curry is a committed Christian. He's a very committed Christian. Professes his faith. He's unapologetic. He's not one of those out there sort of guys, but he's unapologetic. He's gently spoken. He's softly spoken, but he does talk openly about his faith when he has an opportunity. Now, on every pair of his boots is these words. I don't know if you can see them. They're on every pair, I can do all things. Every set of his basketball boots that he runs, the sneakers, they're not called boots, they're called sneakers. I learnt that as well. I can do all things. Those are an echo of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, which says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And so for Curry, using these words is an encouragement for him to remember that no matter what the odds, no matter how badly things might be going, he can perform to the maximum and he is going to help win the game. Except in the 2016 NBA Finals, when the Warriors were up 3-1 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then they lost the next three games in a historic Cleveland comeback, which led to the 4-3 defeat of Curry and his Warriors. I should be a sports caller after that. Relying on Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 to enable you to do anything and everything without limits is an out of context application of these verses. As this comic really shows really well. Bro, what are you doing? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to jump off this building and fly like a bird. Dude, hold on, that's not really. I can do all things, except read the Bible verses in their proper context. I thought that was fantastic. All scripture texts need to be kept in their context, some more so than others, because some get taken out of context far too easily. Today, our text is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, when it comes to the book of Philippians and a lot of texts in the book of Philippians, it's good to know the context which impacts the understanding here. And an important context is the situation of Paul when he writes the book of Philippians. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So when Paul writes the book of Philippians, he's in jail. We're pretty sure that the imprisonment that he's talking about is the imprisonment that's described in Acts chapter 28. That's the Roman imprisonment. Now, this particular imprisonment, it's not as severe as it could be. Paul is able to receive visitors and he's able to have people tend to his needs, but he would be chained to a guard 24 hours a day. Now, I want you to picture Paul in that circumstance. And he's writing the book of Philippians to the people at Philippi. And then he gets to this verse and he writes down, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So if Paul can do all things through him who gives me strength, why doesn't he just leave the prison? Why not? Remember when Paul first preached to Philippi? He ended up in jail there. Do you remember that story? He ended up in jail. And that night, Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and a violent earthquake came and all the prison doors flew open and all the chains came loose. If Paul wanted to, he didn't at the time, but if Paul wanted to, he could have gone. He could have run away. And maybe now Paul's thinking, hey, God can do this. I've seen it before. Why don't I ask God to do it again? Get me out of this difficult situation. But Paul doesn't do that. He stays where he is. By knowing the context of Paul, we realize that doing all things doesn't mean that God will use his strength to remove our difficult circumstances. There are going to be times when you have an exam and the exam that you face is beyond your capacity. You've studied and you've had a good lecturer, but the reality is you don't have the brain power to pass the exam. Your team, your soccer team or your football team or your basketball team, it will still lose even when it has a Christian on it. Being a Christian does not guarantee that you will be elected to govern. Being a Christian does not guarantee that you have a job or that your business is not going to fail. There are going to be times when life is not going to go your way, when life is unfair and feels overwhelming. You have been faithful and you have been godly and you have been holding on to the Lord, but still, these are things that happen in life. Even for faithful Christians, there will be financial hardship. You will work hard, you will not be reckless with your money, but you will still be going from paycheck to paycheck or perhaps having more going out than is coming in. There will be days when your physical health will cause you grief and you will have the daily niggles and you will have the aches and pains and you will have the health issues that we will never recover from. You will have the issues that cause chronic pain. All of these things happen. There are so many moments in life, moments of personal disappointment, really, truly difficult moments. And there also are going to be those moments when you really should just suck it up, princess, because it's not that bad, really. But you're going to have all of these moments. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is not a promise that God will use his strength to get you out of that circumstance and remove you from that circumstance. So if that's not what the strength is being given for, what are we being strengthened to do? And that's where we go to the next context, which is the context of the surrounding verses. And in this case, we're reading Philippians 4, 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in poverty, plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. In the context of the surrounding verses then, we see that Paul's missionary journeys have been keenly and prayerfully followed by the church at Philippi. They were really supportive of him really all through his ministry. And when they heard that Paul was now in prison, they've sent Epaphroditus to Rome from Philippi. They've equipped Epaphroditus with all sorts of gifts and financial help and all of those sorts of things. And Paul's writing back to them, and part of that he's writing is acknowledging the blessings that they have given, acknowledging the care that they have shown, acknowledging their concern for his well-being. But as he writes these things, Paul says he wants us to know, and he wants the church to know, he wants us to know that in the midst of this situation, we need to understand the spiritual challenge. And the spiritual challenge that comes in any and every circumstance. You see, the reality we need to understand is we have a spiritual challenge when it comes to being content. Up on the screen, I'm going to put Philippians 4:12. This is in the ESV version. It says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Coming to a place of contentment, coming to a place where you can face plenty or hunger or abundance or need, coming to that place is something that you actually have to learn. There was a time when Paul didn't have the capacity. He had an education deficiency in his capacity to be content. So at some point, Paul did start learning, and there's a reality where he's going to have to keep on learning. So learning to be content is not something that you learn as a one-off event where you go, oh, here is the contentment package for the Christian. Download it. There it is. Now I know how to be content. It's an ongoing process. It's something that you will continue to do even for your whole life. So not only is it a learning process, being able to be content is actually a secret. It's a mystery. Now, some secrets and some mysteries will never be unraveled. What happened to the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 when it disappeared from the radar on the 8th of March 2014? Probably will never be unraveled. The true purpose of the Stonehenge, that's a secret that will never be unraveled. The fate of the Ark of the Covenant. The location of all the single socks that disappear from the washing machine. Mysteries that are beyond understanding. But there is a secret, there is a mystery that Paul is talking about that can be discovered. Ephesians 3:2-6. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So he's talking about the first three chapters there, first two chapters of Ephesians, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now being revealed by God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promises in Christ Jesus. The secret, the mystery that needs to be revealed in our lives for us to even be able to begin to learn how to be content, is the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is the mystery that talks about God appearing in the flesh. Fully divine, fully human, one of us, so that the sacrifice that he makes is able to cover our sin. Completely sinless, the only one worthy who is able to pay the price. It's the mystery of a Savior who was before all things and above all things, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's the mystery of the Son of God hanging on the cross, and he's beaten and he's humiliated and he's counted among the thieves. And now he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And now he's dead and he's reconciling and he's making peace between God and man through his blood shed on the cross. It's the mystery of an empty tomb, which speaks about the victory which has been secured for all of those who come to Jesus in repentance and faith. That's the mystery. That's the gospel. That those who are enemies of God can now be members together of his body and participate in eternal life. This mystery, understanding this mystery, having this mystery, this secret being revealed into our lives, this is what gives us the capacity to be content. And so from the content of the surrounding verses, what we realize is without this mystery being revealed to us, we cannot and we will not be able to be content. We cannot and will not have the strength to be able to understand the secret of what it is like to face plenty or want, to face abundance or need. Being content is a huge spiritual challenge. And that brings us to the experience, the context of our lived experience. Our lived experience can be one of these things and many more. You are halfway through an exam and you know you're going to fail. And that guy who gets up always halfway through the exam, who never comes to the lectures and who barely studies, he gets up and walks out and you know he's already got a 7. There's one family that will be drowning in debt and another who will get a 3rd new car. There are those people who have never been sick in their life, and then there's the other person who is never well. The person who always in the right place at the right time for the promotion while the other person is invisible to the team. One generation looks to another generation and says, you had so many more advantages than us. How tempting it is in our hearts to say things like, I wish I was in such and such's position, in such and such's shoes, my life would be totally different. Make me healthy, make me wealthy, let me accomplish my dreams, give me a beautiful wife and have kids that believe, let me die in old age peacefully in my sleep. And we can go on and on with all of these examples of our context of lived experience, but in one way or another, we want God to use his strength to help us to avoid what we've identified as a difficulty. We're not content. And then God in his grace, as he often does, he provides for our needs. And we find ourselves in this place of plenty and abundance. And then we find the challenge is just as great. How many times in our lives have you or I been in a place where we've had very little, where we haven't even had enough to get by? And yet in those times, there's been seasons where we found ourselves relying on God and having the faith that God will get us through. We don't have the abundance of material possessions, but we have the abundance of God. And then God brings us through. And now we're finding ourselves in a place of abundance. And we're even to be in a place of being able to be generous to others. And then there's this testimony that comes up that for some reason now we're not as close to God as we used to be. And we're finding ourselves relying on our possessions more and more. And when we don't get that luxury that we really wanted, we think God is letting us down. We're still not content. It's this testimony that resonates, doesn't it? This testimony where when we don't have material abundance, we have spiritual abundance. And then when we have material abundance, we feel spiritual poverty. Learning to be content in any and every circumstance is a huge challenge, especially for us in our situation where we are surrounded by material wealth. And it's a challenge that seems to be impossible to meet. And then that's when Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now we have the text in context. The context of the author who writes, the context of the surrounding verses, the context of our lived experience. And by knowing all of these contexts, we realize that Philippians 4:13 is not written so that God will use his strength to remove us from our difficult circumstances and make all of our circumstances nice and exactly how we want them. Instead, the words of Philippians 4:13 are a promise that God will give us the spiritual strength to keep holding on to the mystery of the gospel in our daily lives. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I understand the mystery of the gospel, as I live my life, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or whether in need. And the reason that the strength comes, and the reason we will be able to when we rely on him, is that Jesus himself is the eternal example of contentment in all circumstances. Earlier in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about Jesus, and he said he made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death. He had everything. He is God. And he gave that all up to come to this earth. Not once in that process did he desire anything less to endure the punishment for our sins and to remove our debt. Even when he was in the garden and he was praying to God, Lord, if it is your will, but not my will, but yours be done. And he's hanging on the cross and they're taunting him, aren't they? If you are the Son of God, bring yourself down. Well, that's challenge accepted. Yeah? I'm going to show you. I'll get off this cross. And by the way, I've got 12 legions of angels at my disposal. Let's see what you think of that. But he doesn't. In that moment, Jesus does what he's called to do because he is content with his circumstances. He's relying on the strength of his Father. And in so doing, shows us how we have strength in all circumstances. In all circumstances, Jesus never sought to be covetous of anyone else's position. He never sought to avoid the difficulty. He never allowed the abundance that he had to distract him from his calling. And that's where the secret begins. And that's where the strength is needed. That as we negotiate this life with all the different circumstances that each one of us are finding ourselves in all the time, that we have a Saviour in our lives, our friend, our provider, our Lord, who will give us the strength that we need in all things to be able to be content. To know the secret and to keep learning what it is to be content. So here is the context for you now. What's your context right now? Are you content? Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want, are you content? And if you're not content, then these verses are giving us two reasons why you're not content. The first reason you don't have the strength to be content is because the mystery of the gospel is still a mystery to you. You're not content because you actually don't know Jesus in the first place. And so if you want to live a contented life, and that's you, you first need to come and know Jesus, because you will never be content until you know who Jesus is. That's the first reason you may not be content. The other reason that you don't have the strength to be content is because you're not allowing Jesus to help you. You're not allowing Jesus to give you the strength. Instead of doing all things through him who strengthens me, you're seeking to do all things through myself. And that means, if that's you, you need to come before Jesus again in prayer and ask the Lord for a renewal of the spiritual strength to meet this huge spiritual challenge. Now, that might sound impossible, but this is the promise of Scripture, that you can do all things. You can be content every moment of every day of your life through him who gives you strength. But without him, you will never have the strength to do anything that's of eternal spiritual significance. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about these words in their context, help us to apply them to the context of our own lives, to let your Spirit work, to allow this word to speak in a mighty way. Lord, help us to be honest in the face of your word. And if we're not content, Lord, that we are willing to ask the hard question of ourselves, do we even know Jesus? Have we really understood who Jesus is, understood the mystery? And if we have understood that mystery, are we relying on him and living in obedience to him for the strength that we need each and every day? Lord God, may it be that our testimony will be true when we use these verses, that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. We pray these things in his name, and all God's people say, amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.